Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good morning and welcome to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X, the fastest growing B2B radio network in the country. I'm your host, Karen Nowicki, and in the studio with me today is my fast and comfortable growing friend, Rick Olson. He is here to share with us everything we have to know about humor. Yes?
How long do we have? More than an hour?
Hours, we do. Yeah, well, we've already been together for an hour. We had a few computer issues, but thank goodness Rick was kind and patient with me. So yes, we've got all the time we can, and I've already extended an invitation just based on our brief conversation for you to come back in the studio again.
I'm all for it.
Excellent. So tomorrow morning I'll show up and you'll be waiting for me at the door.
That's right. I'll bring coffee.
I would love that.
That's right.
So we've talked a little bit about your business and your joy to help people understand how being more humorous and being funnier can help benefit them in the business world. How did you get started with this? Let's start there.
Okay. But before we start there, yes. can I give this input? Or if you take away one thing from our time together,
yes,
let it be this, that humor is the quickest way to form a connection with somebody. And it's not just about amusement. We laugh for affiliation. We laugh because it's a signal that I want to be part of your group. I want to be friends with you. So there's huge value in being able to be funnier, but then also recognizing that when you laugh with a group of people, the person you want to most connect with is the one you'll make eye contact with. So start paying attention to that. When you're in a group of people and you laugh, notice who you pay attention to or who you look in the eye. That's who you want to connect with the most.
Interesting. And you shared when we met the first time, you had noticed that I was nodding my head
Yes. In
agreement with you.
Right.
And probably looking you in the eyes as
Absolutely.
Well. But we also mentioned it's because you're bald and my husband's bald. And I got this thing for bald men.
That's right.
So
you want me to tell you how I got started being bald?
Yeah. I think more about humor.
All right.
Unless the story goes hand in hand.
We'll see if there's a way to diverge those together. I grew up, as we all did.
Good.
So far, so good. It's intriguing. Everybody said I was funny. My parents' friends likened me to Spanky from The Little Rascals. Mm. So I was, quote unquote, naturally funny, right? Sometimes for good, sometimes for evil. But everybody said, you're so funny, you should do stand-up comedy, right? But I resisted because I knew how I was funny with a group of people wasn't the same as being alone on stage, having to give all the information needed for someone to laugh, because I knew I was funny contextually, right? All the information needed to make a laugh happened at that dinner table. That was not a challenge for me. So I resisted. In 2010, my wife and I moved to the Valley, and there was somebody offering free introduction to stand-up comedy classes. So I thought, all right, well, this is interesting. If someone thinks they can teach it, I bet I can learn it. I did graduate summa cum laude from Eastern New Mexico University. Right.
So you got the smarts.
Yeah, that's right. I can learn almost anything. I'm compulsive that way. And as I expected, I struggled. It wasn't as easy as for someone to be naturally funny. It wasn't as easy as I would have liked it to have been. So I'm compulsive. Thankfully, I have a Kindle. My wife has no idea how many books I bought on being funnier, how to write jokes, all of it, as well as online courses. And then I found a mentor out in LA. Jerry Corley with Stand Up Comedy Clinic. And I had a Skype session with him. He explained more to me in that 1 hour Skype session than I had learned in the 2 months prior trying to learn this on my own. He said things like, Rick, here's the 9 reasons people laugh. Number 9 is tickling, and that doesn't apply to stand up comedy unless you would like to be arrested. Right. So he taught me that. And within 3 months of working with Jerry, I had my first paid stand up comedy gig. And within 3 years, I was paid to headline. Now, if you're in comedy, you know that's kind of a big deal. But if you know the rest of my story, you know that's not a big deal. But the point that happened was a couple years into that journey, at a birthday party, we were sitting at Macayo's restaurant in Ahwatukee. Mm-hmm. And I was making everybody laugh, which isn't out of the ordinary, but I noticed something different. This time, whenever I was making everybody laugh, I go, hey, that's that joke structure. Hey, that's that comedy formula. And I started paying attention to when I was being quote unquote naturally funny. I could point to at least one of those comedy formulas or joke formulas or laugh triggers and go, nah, I could teach people how to be funny. And the first thing, someone said, hey, you should teach guys how to be funnier because every girl wants a funny guy. So I actually started writing a book called Make Her Laugh, Make Her Yours. Mm-hmm. But then having been married for 26 years, I didn't think being in the pickup artist niche
right.
was really my deal. But then the next thing that happened that led to the writing of the book was I joined Toastmasters because Jerry said, Rick, you're a little bit older. You want to actually make money at being funny. So don't worry so much about the comedy clubs. Go to corporate speaking. Mm-hmm. Do corporate entertainment, corporate speaking. So I joined Toastmasters to get some experience with that. They have the humorous speaking contest. I entered and I won at the club level.
Yes,
I won at the area level, but then I didn't win at the next level. I got second. Like, huh, everybody said you're funniest, but you didn't win. I was like, you're right, I'm funniest, but I didn't win. Next year, same thing, except this year I got third. I was going backwards, but I was naturally funny. I was paid to do stand-up. I knew how to write jokes. I did improv. I took a class with Gene Parrott, Bob Hope's head monologue writer. I knew how to do this, but why couldn't I translate?
What was missing?
Right. So I thought, I've got one shot left. I'm gonna give this one last shot. And I changed my approach and I won. And the change I made was I made my approach to developing the speech and adding jokes more like I did when I was being naturally funny around people. So instead of starting with what's funny, I started with just what's the conversation I want to have with my audience. Mm-hmm. And so I built processes around that on how do you, in the course of conversation, how do you get laughs? And so I developed that into my laugh generator process, I call it. And you can take that for a test drive on my website. But that's what led to me writing a book because I thought I need for other people to know that it's not that hard, that with some processes, you can be funny if you want to.
It's not that hard, yet there's a craft to it.
Yes.
And I, until having met you, thought that being human, and I grew up, well, my family won't say I'm very funny because we're all funny, but I think I'm pretty funny. My family doesn't say that. But I've always felt it was a natural gift that's either you're funny or you're not. Are you going to squash that? Is that just the case?
Well, so yes, you are either funny or you're not. But if you'd like to be funnier, you can learn the techniques. Mm-hmm. You can learn the structure of comedy. And with some practice, you can be funnier. So no matter where you start, if you'd like to be funnier, you can do that.
And what I'm hearing you say, even in the time that you've been learning this craft and really honing it in as a humor advocate, you've had to find ways to strategically build on that humor. Right. So to be funny is one thing in front of a group of people, girl, right. You know, friends, whatever, or trying to get that date, whatever it is.
Right.
But if we're using humor to influence, if we're using humor to get to know people and accelerate that relationship, we probably have to be aware of a few things. Right.
Right. The first thing is that that's horrible to say. I'm stumbling all over my tongue today. The first thing you need to be aware of is the fact that it's too important to leave it to chance, that you want to be strategic with your use of humor if you want to be, right? You need to be able to own that skill set. So if you're a salesperson going on a sales call, how quickly can you make that future customer laugh, right? Do you know how to approach that conversation that will lend itself to a laugh?
And why is that important?
And why is that important? It's right. And as I started when we began, if you remember one thing, remember that laughter is about connection. We laugh because we want to be connected to each other, mm-hmm. right? A neuroscientist, Sophie Scott, she's a British neuroscientist doing research on laughter. That's what it boils down to, is it's not just about amusement, it's about connection.
With large audiences or even small groups, depending on who's speaking, I've always found that whoever is on stage that's making me laugh and smile and think is who I'm more inclined to want to get to know better. And so I don't know anybody else aside from these mentors that you've mentioned briefly that have taken humor into businesses and said, listen, I can help you hone this craft.
Right.
What a fantastic business model.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit more about this assessment that we can have access to.
My website, afunnieryou.com. There's a link there for the Funnier You Academy. And I'm afraid to take that.
well,
it's not really an assessment. I do that one-on-one. So it's, I call it a laughter audit. So we look at your business or your life, depending on what you want to accomplish, and look for the opportunities to leverage strategic laughter to make connections with those that matter.
Okay. So the funnier you...
.com. Yep.
And I can go on there and I can take a look at, I have access to this other piece. So I can do an audit with you one-on-one, which I clearly need to do. Because I do think I'm funny, but maybe I think
you're funny. Well, we had a great time.
I passed.
Yeah, you did.
But on the website, I can go on there. What do I have access to?
You have access to, I lay out my laugh generator process. I'm not hiding it behind something you have to pay for. It's obviously in the
Love
book,
that.
But the article is there. I also have free training in the academy for 5 steps to more laughs, even if no one thinks you're funny. Right. So there you go, Karen.
Yeah.
There's your opportunity.
Excellent. I can get in there and learn how.
So I walk you through the process, but then it's up to you. Because the 5 obstacles I found that people face when they want to be funnier, the first one is mindset. They believe I'm either funny or I'm not, that it's fixed, that I can't change it. So you have to overcome that mindset. The next hurdle you have to overcome is bad information, because people will say things that aren't necessarily true. They're true, but they're not helpful in developing the skill set. And then having access to a mentor is another obstacle. And then the final obstacle is practice, the willingness to practice, because it will take some time. It's if I wanted to be a better swimmer, I wouldn't expect to read a book and be a better swimmer.
Yes.
It will give me the technique, but until I actually put it into practice, I'm not going to have access to that skill set.
Yeah. And for our leaders who are listening and they're leading teams or even public speakers, and they're looking for an avenue to hone their craft, certainly they're spending time practicing other aspects.
Right.
And could be missing this really important component.
Right. And leaving it to chance. And that's the biggest mistake I see business owners, salespeople make, is they leave it to chance. Maybe they're naturally funny.
Mm-hmm.
So they just rely on their natural ability to, in the moment, try to generate a laugh. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But we can take that and really hone it so that they know when they deploy a potential laugh event that they will get the desired effect, connection.
Yes.
Because just as it will connect, it will also divide. Because if I give a speech to a room full of Republicans, I should not do Republican jokes.
Right.
Right. Because I will divide.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us about your book. So I love when I come to the studio and I have an author who comes. Oftentimes I do get a gift. So thank you so much for my present today. Hook 'em with Humor, The Public Speaker's Guide to Having Fun and Using Humor to Mesmerize, Fascinate, and Engage.
Yes.
Yeah.
So many people are afraid of public speaking. So that's why I wanted to have Having Fun in the subtitle, because making your audience laugh is actually more about making sure you have less stress and have more fun giving a speech. In the book, Talk Like TED, they share Monica Lewinsky's story to sharing her TED Talk. She talks about how much anxiety she had, like off the charts. When that went away was when her audience laughed at her first joke. Nothing else, you know, tapping, you know, the tapping stuff or other emotional techniques didn't work. She got that first laugh. All her stress went away. Remember what I said about connection?
I was just going to ask.
That laughter meant to her, this audience accepts me. Right. And so that stress, that fight or flight response that was going on in that moment, she was able to relax because it was a signal that this audience is going to accept me. And with her background, that's a big thing.
Huge. And you wouldn't necessarily think that there's place for humor in a Monica Lewinsky conversation, but really there is.
Absolutely.
Right? It helps break down the barrier of the intensity of everything that she had to share.
Right. Right. One of the reasons why we laugh is to release tension. And you and I were talking about that earlier, about in a sales conversation, you're building up to asking for a close, whether it's for a nonprofit, get involved with my charity. donate money to the charity or buy my product, you're building up to an emotional event, the close. We laugh to release tension. So the one place you don't want to make your customer laugh is after you've asked a closing question.
Right.
Now, if you're asking for a $5 t-shirt, you could probably make them laugh. But if you're asking for $4,000 for a set of cookware or a car or a big investment in real estate or something, you don't want, that's not the point to make them laugh.
But having shared that humor and the laughter leading into it is critical.
Absolutely.
Because again, it builds that rapport.
Right.
So there's obviously strategy behind where we put in our jokes,
right,
and how we engage with people. I'm fascinated in your experience as a public speaker, honing in this craft, as you watch other public speakers, what are some of the things that you've noticed that if they just added humor, I mean, I can imagine that now you get to watch it kind of through a microscope or a lens when you're watching other public speakers. Is there one tip that you would have for public speakers? I know you have a whole book on it, but one really great tip for people.
The thing that I notice most when I'm watching other speakers is their missed opportunities. Mm-hmm. Every time we speak, there's natural opportunities in our presentation to get laughs, but because it hasn't been an intentional practice, they miss them. And they're just right there and they're so right. They're, in fact, we're in the Wells Fargo building, mm-hmm, right? Are we allowed to say that?
Yeah, they're not a sponsor yet, but yes,
right,
you can mention that.
All right, I will knock on the door on my way out and tell them they're missing out. She was going to be the MC for a Wells Fargo speaker series. Mm-hmm. And she came to NSA at the speaker's lab to practice that little introduction. And in the process, she shared that when she had her first child, she was unprepared and totally nervous. And I said, if you switch that around, now I need to go back and look at my notes because I'm not remembering exactly what she said, but just a simple twist in word order would have generated the surprise needed for a laugh. But because nobody's trained in recognizing what it takes to get a laugh, they miss that opportunity. So that's the one thing when I watch speakers speak. Another speaker, this is an easier example. She said, I talk about vegetables. I try to get people to eat their vegetables. So I don't have any place for laughter in my presentation.
Oh, sure. I'm thinking, yes,
I said, do you tell stories? And she said, yeah, but I don't think there's anything there. So then she told the story about being accosted at the grocery store for buying Brussels sprouts. Some lady said, why are you buying those? They're nasty and they smell. And so she proceeded to tell this lady how to cook them so they didn't smell. And then she called herself a veggie evangelist. Well, humor,
yes,
is two different ideas converging, a juxtaposition. So veggie evangelist. And I said, do you realize if all you had said after calling yourself a veggie evangelist, that you go door to door preaching the good news of Brussels sprouts, you would have got a laugh.
Right.
Right. So it is really that simple. So that's what I would like to tell people who present and speak and actually engage with other people.
Well, right, which most of us are doing on a regular basis.
Whether we want to or not.
Right, yeah. And I'm fascinated that whether you're self funny or not, you can help people become more funnier. And on top of that, there's a strategic placement in addition to the linguistics, really the wording and the timing,
right,
of where and how we can share our humor.
Exactly.
Yeah. You have another book in the works. Tell us about that.
You are actually the first one besides myself to know about it.
Yay, but not anymore.
The first book is for people who speak. And really, we all are engaged in public speaking, but it's for the people who recognize that their bottom line is tied to their ability to present information. That's the first book. The second one is called Humor Fluence.
And love it.
It is all about the rest of us, the day-to-day conversations we have as leaders, as team members, customer service reps, where a little bit of humor can really connect and diffuse a potentially rough situation in the case of customer service. If you can get them to laugh, you can break down that barrier to human connection, and then you can improve your influence because of that connection.
I totally see it. Again, I'm not skilled in how to use my humor or knowing why it's worked in the past, but I do know that I will pull out some funny things. Sometimes I hit it and it's successful, and other times I don't. So I'm looking forward to my audit, my time with you, to be able to look back and go, oh, now it makes sense.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
In the Hook 'Em with Humor book, I have a section on troubleshooting and what that means, mostly in the context of a speech or a presentation, but it really does apply to any attempt to get a laugh.
Mm-hmm. Great. Tell us about the practice snack on Facebook. I've had a chance to see those. They're fun.
And have you tried one?
I have.
Did you? Which one? Do you mind? Can I put you on the spot and ask you for which one?
I'm trying to remember which one it was. It's been when
that's
you and
okay.
I were.
I don't even remember the one I did today.
Yeah. And I don't give me a moment. I might recall. But it's been a couple weeks since we first had a chance to meet. Saturday
I did that. The word "run" has 645 different uses. The editor of the English Oxford Dictionary, over 9 months, ferreted out 645 uses. Every opportunity I get to use the word ferret out.
You'll use it.
So the practice snack was, can you come up with 10 on your own? Can you come up with more if you have more time? But the practice snack is all about the idea that humor develops daily, not in a day. And you really need to build some fundamental skills that go into being funnier. Some of those are just creativity. Word association is a big one. Today, success is like toilet paper. And that and that's actually a comedian, Richard Jenny's joke. It's never there when you need it.
Oh, right.
Is his punchline. But we can use that as an opportunity to practice. Can you come up with 9 other ways? You know, it's better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. You know, would be one other way to finish that.
You know, when I've had sales professionals and people who help train other people to be more successful in sales, many times they've said they have to practice. They have to be in the conversation of the sales conversation, right? You mentioned swimming. You know, you can't go jump in a pool and expect to know how to swim the strokes if you've never practiced and applied it. So it makes sense that humor would be much the same way, but we wouldn't expect that. That's what's such a treat for me in this conversation with you, is that I love to be around funny people and I love to laugh and have a good time. And it's been one of the gifts that I feel like I've had, but again, not having an idea of how or why. So now be able to look at it through that lens and say, okay, Rick, let's really chisel this down so that I know strategically when to put in a joke or to say something funny. And then likewise, going back to the idea with sales, knowing how to round that back then into the sales conversation, you help people with that as well, right?
So, yes.
Yeah, that right. would be critical, because if you just leave them laughing, it's almost like one of my mentors said, you never want to talk to somebody that you're looking to do a sales with or a transaction with about their kids. Have you heard that before?
No.
You wouldn't want to talk, this person has suggested that you wouldn't want to talk to them about their kids, because talking about your children could often make people feel afraid or mm-hmm. worried about their safety. And so if you're looking to build that rapport, that have that influence, if you mention your kids, which is something that I used to do all the time, because I love to get to know people.
Right.
I've been kind of watching that I have to, you know, be mindful of how much of this is going to be just a casual conversation with people versus if I'm in a conversation, a strategic conversation, to have a transactional relationship with this person. There are some things that I should and should not do. And humor, until again, we had met, I never thought that would be something that I'd also have to take a look at.
Yeah. One thing you said earlier that I want to reinforce, mm-hmm. the idea that it can be learned. My wife would call herself the least funny person.
Really?
Used to, because that's just how she viewed herself. Now, when I started on this comedy journey, she would go with me and they would let her audit the course. And finally, she said, you know what? I want to try stand-up.
Oh, wow.
And so she did it too. But now she uses humor more than I do. She works in assisted living setting. She's a physical therapist assistant. But she tells me some of the things that she does to make her audience laugh, which is people in their 80s, 90s, sometimes 100.
Oh, gosh, who so need to laugh.
And she was the most in-demand therapist. They wanted to work with her over everyone else.
Of course,
because
they did.
Because here's what happened. She actually listened to what they said, which is a fundamental skill set. If you're going to be funny, you have to listen to what people say, as well as what you say. But then she would connect and she would have them laughing. And the people in that setting have so little control about what happens to them on a day-to-day life, they need that vacation. Mm-hmm. And laughter provides them that. So, for example, she had one lady who was in her 90s, had broken her hip, had a rod inserted, and she looked at my wife and said, so they put a rod in here, a metal rod in my hip. Yeah. Do you think it'll last? No, she's in her 90s. How long do you need it to last?
Right.
Yeah. And the lady said, well, you never know what life's going to throw at you. And my wife said, like the ground, because she had fallen, you know, and everybody in the room's laughing and having a good time and connecting.
Connecting. That's connecting. Really what it comes to, is being able to break through those barriers and simply connect.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I love that you've rounded it back to that, because I would imagine there are people listening who are maybe struggling in sales or want to get to that next level. Perhaps they're successful and they want to take it to the next level.
Right.
Or even our public speakers who, you know, are hovering at a level of success and uncertain as to what the next piece is for them to increase their bookings.
Right. So that's part of the conversation I have with them, because if they're struggling to have the level of success they are looking for, humor may not be the thing that is lacking. It might be the use of humor, maybe, but if they can't knock on doors and get referrals, if they can't give a good sales presentation, if they don't have the fundamentals down, humor is additive. So whatever you're good at, it will help make you better. But if you're not good at the fundamentals, humor isn't the place to start. So when I have a conversation with somebody, I have to have that conversation.
Yes.
Because I don't want to help somebody be funnier that's not going to boost their bottom line.
Right. Well, and I've gotten to know you in the short time I have to know that you would be very candid with somebody. Look, this is what humor can offer you, and here's how I can help you. And that's a small piece of it. Yeah. You also need to go and take care of, you know, this next piece as well.
Right. So if I was when I'm working with a salesperson, we look at their sales process. What is the life cycle for them? How do they get to know somebody? How do they meet potential customers? How do they have a conversation with them? Where is the conversation? Is it face-to-face or is it email? Because we laugh more face-to-face because, again, of connection. And if you try to use humor when you're not face-to-face, that's a whole different skill set that you have to advance from the basic skill set. And then how do you give your presentation for your product or your service? How do you handle objections? How do you ask for the close? So I look at all of that and have that conversation with them. And then hopefully we identify where in their process, if the sales process was like a chain, mm-hmm. there's only one weak link currently. Is their weak link closing the sale? Is it during the sales presentation? Is it getting potential new customers? And then we focus on the weak link first, because it doesn't do you any good if you can't get potential customers to talk to you. And then we work on closing, right?
Right.
So that's part of the strategic roadmap that I work on.
I love it. So it's not just around, you know, hey, tell a funnier joke. Your knock-knock jokes are not working anymore.
Right.
It really is helping people to take a look at really how they're showing up in conversations with people.
Yes.
And building that out with humor as a big piece of it.
Right. So for leaders, business owners, looking strategically at, are they creating a laughter-rich environment for their employees? Because one, laughter increases motivation. It increases employee engagement and a connection to you as their leader, right? Therefore, your influence. So are you creating an environment where not only are you laughing, because you as the leader set the pace, and because of something called mirror neurons, we laugh when others laugh, right? Laughter is contagious. So it starts with that. Are you one-on-one being able to generate a laugh? Are you able to then translate that to maybe your staff meetings, your employee meetings, your sales meetings, beyond just laughing for yourself, right? So looking at your business overall, where are the rough spots? Maybe is it dealing with customers? You know, so looking at customer engagement, where's your weak link in customer engagement? Where's your weak link in working with your employees? And go, can we strategically use humor to increase the connection needed in that situation?
With so many business owners and leaders wanting to find a better way to keep and retain employees and make them happy, right? Because a lot of times the pay isn't there, or the challenges in the workplace, I would imagine as a business owner, this conversation with you is invaluable.
It can be. 65% of employees surveyed would rather have a new boss than a raise.
I hear you. Yeah, right? I've been there. Yeah. Right?
And who would you want to do business with? You know, if you're making a sales call and you're you make your customer laugh, you're going to be invited in. You're not going to be put off. You can increase the return on your emails by using humor as well, but you're spot on. Being able to strategically leverage it is key to boosting your bottom line.
Mm-hmm. So it's not just for public speakers and it's not just for salespeople. It really, the nice thing is that if you're in business, and obviously that's our listening audience, and you're looking to show up and enjoy life and business more, then a conversation with Rick Olson is definitely something that you need to add to your wheelhouse.
I would recommend it. Yes. I talk to myself daily and I've never enjoyed it more.
Good. So I know we mentioned the Practice Snacks. That's a fun Facebook on your Facebook page. And your Facebook handle will be on our website, our network, but also it's just
Rick Olson Biz. Mm-hmm. OlsonBiz.
All right. And a Funnier You Academy. And online resources, and then the Hook 'em with Humor. There's an online course as well as this fantastic book.
Yes.
Yeah. And speaking and workshops and seminars, mentorship.
Yes.
Yeah.
From a values. So I wanted my customer to have it their way, kind of like Burger King, right? However you wish to engage. So that's why I wrote the book. So the book is available to you if you're into that. I read a lot of books. I know a lot of people that do. But beyond that, some people like video. So I have that as well. Some people like one-on-one environment. That's what the mentoring program is. So from a value standpoint, it is the most costly. It's a bigger investment. But working with me one-on-one is going to get you results quicker,
much quicker
than reading the book and trying to work it out on your own. Mm-hmm. Right. And as a former coach, you understand the value of coaching.
Absolutely.
Right. So that really the people that work with me are the ones who probably need it the least because they have invested so much in personal development already.
Yeah. But they're on a quick trajectory to make it happen.
But they understand every 1% improvement is going to add volumes to the bottom line.
Much, much quicker.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. That's what we want. We don't want to drudge it out. It's been a pleasure to have you on Business Radio X today. Tell our listeners how we can get a hold of you. So we already talked about your Facebook page and website as well. Mention that again for us.
A funnier you, YOU.com.
Great.
So that's my home. That's all the resources you need for being a funnier you.
Well, I plan to take advantage of that audit. And definitely we'll have you into the studio again today. And I want to thank you again for your patience.
We had
a little technical difficulty today and with your humor and also that hug really helped me just kind of settle into there's nothing I can do. It's out of my control.
That's right.
We had a chance to talk quite a bit while we were waiting to go on live today. So thank you again for your patience with me and joining us in the studio today on behalf of Phoenix Business Radio X, where we help build businesses and connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki and we'll see you next time.